Hello and welcome to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast, game week 37, with me, Craig, Ash.
Hello, everybody.
And not Tom, it's Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hello.
We've welcomed into Gaffer Tapes HQ, league member, Jack Saunders of the Saundi, dynasty. Tom has left us for destination unknown. We can't work out if it's Cornwall or Cyprus or...
It has to be Cornwall. He's never been anywhere else in his whole life.
He does go to Cornwall a lot.
Devon.
Devon, sorry. Thank God Jack's
here. Yeah, worldwide comedy tour, exclusively in Devon every week.
I don't know where he's such an old man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He just likes to go to Devon and be left alone. He
fucking loves it.
He really does like Devon. But enough of Tom, he's not here. And it's nice finally to do a podcast with three page one players.
Oh, yeah.
So it is nice.
By the time the pod comes out, we might not be anymore.
This is very true.
I will be,
Jack will be.
Oh, the arrogance of it already.
We're now inviting people. We need to stop inviting people on the pod who are better than us in the season. Obviously we are in the middle of, or at the end of, game week 37 with Arsenal still to play against Sunderland. We're going to talk about that in a bit, about double game week choices and whether they seem to have had any significance whatsoever so far. The first part of results we'll run through and then the talking points of that. Southampton obviously gave Villa an absolute doing 6-1. Burnley and Stoke had a boring 0-0. QPR piled on the misery for Newcastle winning 2-1. Spurs beat Hull 2-0. Sunderland Leicester drew 0-0. And West Ham, sadly for Ash, lost to Everton, but even he doesn't care.
Well, we won the Fair Play playoff.
You have won the Fair Play playoff. Are you in Europe now then?
It depends. As long as Liverpool finish in the top six, then we qualify. I mean, it's not convoluted at all.
Yeah.
But because now we've got less... Oh, and of course, unless we get a shitload of yellow cards in our last game. But as long as Liverpool qualify for the UEFA Cup, or whatever it's called now, because they're ahead of us in the Fair Play League.
So where do West Ham fit? Are West Ham a club that aren't quite shit enough or good enough? They want to play, basically.
So. They've already cancelled the summer events that would happen at the stadium, you know, like charity matches. Right. They've already sent them letters saying, like, we apologise, we have to cancel it, because we think we're going to be in the UEFA Cup, for the Europa League. And it actually starts before the Copa America finishes, which Valencia will be in. So for him, it would be go to the Copa America now, halfway through it, effectively start playing in the Europa League, and then just carry on.
Is it really awkward when the invites for the charity events that are going on are going out and Allardyce doesn't get one?
On his desk? Exactly.
And everyone's talking, but shh, 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 he's coming, he's like... Why are you going to the father-son golf event? What event? So West Ham do want to play in it.
Yeah, I think so. I think the fans do. Yeah.
Right, so it's important. You all to play for.
Yeah.
And the yellow card. Not the score, just the yellow card state.
The highest level of achievement West Ham have done since I've been alive is we won the Intertoto Cup.
Yeah.
The same year, which all the whole cup took place before the league started.
That's right.
And the winner of it qualified for the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
But there was two of them ran simultaneously, and us and Real Madrid won it.
Ridiculous tournament. Yeah. Who do you support then, Jack?
Spurs.
You're a Spurs
fan? So I really to give our place to West Ham.
Charity.
By the sound of it.
Yeah.
Can we just donate the Europa League place to West Ham?
That's it, because Spurs are in that area.
We tried our best to avoid it, and Swansea did their best to get the seventh.
Yeah.
Because we're assuming Arsenal are going to win the FA Cup. So seventh place would then get a place.
Yeah.
So we'd probably end up finishing sixth, so it's not going to matter. But if we did finish seventh, we'd want Villa to win the FA Cup. I can't remember how it works out. But we don't want it. We want West Ham to have it. We just want to give away the place.
Typical Tottenham nonsense. Like, they're ever going to do anything. Like, if they're just not in the UEFA Cup, they're going to win the league.
Wow. You never know.
We do know. Because they never win anything.
We do know.
We might have a better chance of getting back into top four. Although... I think now there's too many clubs in the top four. When we were last in the Champions League, you didn't have...
There's only ever four.
You didn't have City. Yeah, but you didn't have City competing. And next year you'll have Liverpool, United, City, Arsenal, Chelsea. There's more places.
Yeah.
There's more teams and places.
But we'll edit that out. We'll just get the Tottenham fans saying...
Spurs just got it. We picked it in the last couple of days.
But you really...
And now there's too many teams competing for the four places, so...
Realistically, Tottenham aren't going to qualify for the Champions League because they're dog shit. Do you think, as Craig would say, would you really rather, like, maybe qualify for the Champions League than not play in Europe at all?
It depends, because you could win it.
Be out of Europa League for a season to see how much better we could do.
Right.
Because we've been in Europa League so many years that it just seems to hold you back just that next step.
I mean, it definitely holds you back. That's a fact. It definitely affects your
league form. Nearly won the title when they weren't in it.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a great Liverpool team, let's be honest.
It was ill.
But
apart from one world-class player. Yeah.
And they weren't in Europe at all. So Stephen Gerrard said it the other night that he thought that was because they weren't in Europe. They put 100% into every league game and they got point off winning the league.
Yeah.
I don't think Spurs are going to go up to second place. They're going to be wrong, but I think it would be interesting to see how much better we could
be. It definitely makes a difference.
Without being in Europa League.
This has been a very average Man United side this season, and they've gone on to do pretty well considering to come into, don't get me wrong, they've got more than average players. Di Maria is fantastic, blah, 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 but they haven't performed like a third or fourth place team most of the season.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they finished top four. And I think Europa League does make that difference. But it's difficult, I guess, isn't it? Because you do want to see how you get on. But then if Spurs end up finishing sixth about it, then you're like, oh, shit, I wish we'd win the Europa League now.
Because then you get into it.
That is a Champions League way in, yeah.
Maybe this is West Ham's route. Fair play into the UEFA Cup, then into the Champions League.
Yeah. You never know. To be fair with the Europa League, though, I know we talk about you never know, but the Europa League is that example because you don't know how serious the other teams... Obviously, once you get to the semi-final and final, they're going to try and win it, but... You know, Middlesbrough have got, and Fulham have got to Europa League finals.
I think the problem is that the teams on the continent actually take it seriously, and they just absolutely muller.
Do they? I don't know. I don't know enough about their squads to know whether they do enter full strength squads.
I think the teams, like if you're, from Russia and Portugal,
they take it real. Got through the other night, didn't they?
They're another team with solid home form again. They rely on that, don't they? The Russian teams and Ukrainian teams are always strong at home. But back to FPL business. Those results there, Mane, hat-trick, fastest hat-trick in Premier League history, beating Robbie Fowler.
Yeah.
And also beating Gennaro Zifuic from Hearts, who set a top 10 world hat-trick record this season, so that was upsetting.
Wow.
I know everyone was talking about that.
Yeah, it's big news.
Gennaro Zifuic, our 16-stone striker, but he is pretty special. But yeah, I had Mane for weeks.
I had him in my team a while ago as well.
Yeah.
He's so inconsistent.
Yeah.
But yeah. Be a team that no one's really looked at it for the last few weeks will have him, probably since captain.
They will.
And would have shot up 40 places in the league somewhere.
But do you know what it is with Mane, a player like him is, you get him in and it's like having Bolasie. I've had Bolasie on and off and luckily I had him for his hat-trick week. But you have a player like Mane, you think, what a great player to have, what a strong player to have on your bench. That's great. But then he stays there.
Yeah.
And he stays in which because this year's been the year of star midfielders because of the cheap strikers. So you're looking at your team and you're looking at Fabregas, Hazard, Sanchez and Silva and you're going, well, how the fuck am I going to play Yannick Bolasie or, or Mane in there? Because why would you drop them? And it's hard to get the right weeks and the perfect weeks to do it. And this was the one, obviously, but it's been difficult picking the underdog midfielder this season because you don't want to drop the star one.
Yeah, actually, looking through his stats, he's been so inconsistent. Well, he's been consistently average, but about four times during the season, he's scored a couple of goals and ended up between like 10 and 25 points.
Yeah.
But they've, all of them have been against bottom three teams.
I agree. But that's interesting to know though, when you're looking at it would have been interesting to know who you're playing against. Because I kind of had Mane because it's that age old FPL, tactic of he was playing further forward, but listed as a midfielder.
Yeah.
When Pella wasn't doing much.
Yeah.
So I thought he's worth a shout. And sadly I didn't have him this week. But yeah, you can instantly see, like Jack said, anyone who had him this week shot up so many because it's been such a low scoring week. Anyone had Mane in there as a hat trick suddenly flew up. Other of those results, obviously Spurs winning 2-0. We've actually got Spurs fan on now. Harry Kane got an assist, I believe, didn't he, Kane?
Yeah.
But drew a blank again up front.
Fortunately, dropped Kane a few weeks ago. So yeah. I think I dropped him at the same time he stopped scoring, which was obviously a good decision for this, but not for Spurs.
Yeah.
I can't see him doing much in the last game either, to be honest. So if you've still got him, I would suggest get someone else in.
I guess you're
more like in a bit of form, like Benteke or someone.
Yeah. Benteke is the one I'd like to get in, I think. Yeah.
I guess you're hoping they get rid of him to get someone Champions League quality in, aren't you?
Well, we need a season without anything. Hopefully he'll stay. Man United were linked with him the other day, but I don't think he's done that well to warrant a Champions League squad going, yeah, we'll have him now.
Isn't it? I don't know. He strengthens teams, a lot of teams, but he'd be best served to stay at Spurs, without a shadow of a doubt, for his career, but it's difficult. He's scoring 20, that's something Michael Owen never did, what he's done, scoring 20 league goals. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But he probably won't be as good next season in an FPL term because his price will get bumped.
Oh, I don't know what his price is going to be. Are we looking at 8 million?
Everyone loved him because he was so cheap. And he was scoring goals. And if you got on that bandwagon, wasn't he a 5 point something at the start? and happy days. I can't see him starting next season at the same level, so I don't think many people will pick him because Spurs aren't going to.
Well, he's going to come with an 8 or 9 million price tag next year, isn't he?
Yeah,
I'd say.
Him and Joa, both under 5 million, weren't they?
So. Berahino was under 6. He's going to be a fortune as well.
I don't know how much more he'll be, actually.
There's 14 league goals this season.
He moves as well.
Did
himself justice last night, I suppose. Night before, scoring 2 against.
Yeah, well, we were saying earlier on that he's that typical linked to Liverpool player. Like, we've been saying it since about November. He's exactly the kind of player that Liverpool will pay about £25 million pounds for. Him and Balassi, they'll both get linked to Liverpool all summer. Whether they actually go there, I don't know, but you don't want to stay. West Brom's one of those clubs, isn't it? Like, it's the opposite with Kane. Kane should stay at Spurs, but Mourinho, fucking get out West Brom as quick as you can. I know Tony Buehler has done a good job, but it's hardly an exciting place to play or an exciting club to play for. I think he'll be off as soon as he gets a call from someone.
They are such a nothing team, aren't they?
They are. They really are.
Well, that's why they bought him Pulis, you'd say. To stay up.
Yeah, that's it.
Done that job. No doubt he'll move halfway through next season to keep another club up.
I don't buy into either. The whole kind of, staying up, that's our ambition, that's that, blah, blah. For a club like West Brom, who are a pretty established Premier League side now. And yes, staying up is always the first port of call for, I would say, 16, almost, not that many, but 12 or 13 of the clubs, that's their first checklist to do. But clubs like Swansea disprove that. Yeah. They haven't got a huge budget. They've signed players as a result of, I know they've paid big transfer fees now, and West Brom will go, oh, we can't pay that kind of fee. But they got there by being ambitious in their first season and second season. And I think clubs like Swansea run like that make you think clubs like West Brom don't like,
yeah, what's it's the bollocks. Point?
You can. Swansea, they're pushing for Europa League football again. Yeah. Having won the League Cup just a couple of seasons ago. So, I don't know. I hate that kind of mediocrity for a club.
The Aladici factor, where it's okay not to try to do anything as long as you maybe secure not getting relegated.
Yeah, and they convince the world that that's a brilliant achievement. Yeah. And everyone goes, oh, bloody hell, he has kept them up, actually. But what fun is that, going to games?
Although, I was saying to someone the other day, I'd rather have been a Leicester supporter this season than a Spurs supporter for the excitement of the season.
Yeah.
Because ending up 6th or 7th, what's the point?
Especially if you actively don't want
relegation on the most ridiculous run of form.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, definitely. That's football. I think that's a different scenario though. Like, what Leicester have done is unbelievable. And if you play the long game, they'll probably go into next season with more confidence than Spurs. Because Leicester have achieved something. And in their first season back up, then avoiding relegation, of course, that's an achievement. And next season, it's an achievement. But 4 seasons after that, surely you don't want to, you've got to be looking somewhere for something.
Yeah.
And I think, like I say, clubs like Swansea, who have done that, then they're kind
of Southampton.
Yeah, exactly. They're absolute reasons. They're not huge clubs with mega bucks. They're not like millionaire owned for, signing ridiculous players. And yet they do it. So I also don't like Tony Pulis, but, it's another thing.
Plus they've done it playing nice football.
Yeah.
They've really broken it. They've gone out, played nice football and gone against what everyone says that you have to play. The only way you can survive relegation.
Yeah.
Is by, lumping the ball up.
Yeah.
But then all the good teams who win everything play nice football. So it doesn't make any sense.
And if you sign smart, they had a big outlay on, I think they paid 11 million for Wilfried Bonny. But that's because they had a couple of good back-to-back seasons to gain that money. And then they sell him on for 30 mil. Like,
yeah.
They're a club that is a selling club, admits it, but still are ambitious of what they want to do. So I'm a big fan. But on the Harry Kane front, we have been saying for weeks to get him out. I would have done it, but it's been difficult moving the puzzle around to get him out. But he's still in my side, but I think that's my one transfer this week, probably, most likely. Other talking points, we just spoke about Leicester, the relegation battle. Leicester got themselves safe. Newcastle lost again.
Amazing.
Despite being 1-0 up to QPR. Is there anyone who wants Newcastle to stay up?
No. 50,000 Geordies, that's about it. And I'm not even convinced they do.
I'm not convinced they do.
They are a massive club. Let's be honest. But in terms of, they do have the fourth biggest stadium or whatever. So.
Yeah.
There's a massive club not
such a Spurs fan.
Yeah.
Talking about massive clubs. Nothing to do with achievements or football. All the other factors that make
just
it a massive
stadium size.
No, but they are. Oh,
they've got a white shirt, massive.
Which Spurs' new stadium will probably be bigger, so we'll be back above Newcastle.
No, but they are a big club, yeah.
But yeah, I just don't think how anyone can like them this season. They've been so dull. That Carver is just an idiot.
That's,
I'm the greatest coach. No one heard of you before you got this caretaker role the other month.
He was the caretaker. He was actually the caretaker.
He was actually like scrubbing the changing rooms. And now he's the best coach in the world, according to John Carver.
I would like to see the stats, actually, because I guess it's whoever's whoever was the Derby manager that year that they got, do you remember about 8 years ago?
The lowest points
19
total.
Points.
Yeah, and they got totally done every week. Apart from whoever the manager then was, who I can't remember, Carver must have the worst record, must he? Was he one,
must
been in charge for 11 but games and lost 9 or something?
One draw, one win in 11.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
There can't be anybody with a worse record than that, can there?
That is a bad, bad record.
Yeah.
It must be embarrassing for him to go to work, because it's pretty much been, they offered someone else his job without him knowing, who turned it down to try and save them for 3 or 4 games. And Mike Ashley is only keeping him there because it's cheaper to do that than to get someone else in.
Yeah.
No one wants him there. He came out publicly criticised his entire squad except teacher's pet Jack Colback. And then he's just a joke. It must be horrible going to work every day.
I think the only person that obviously wants Newcastle to stay up is Steve Bruce. Yeah. Who seems to be doing his best to let them. They had a couple of good games hold, didn't they? Where they won 2 in that double game week and surprised everybody.
Yeah, beat Liverpool.
Yeah, and then I think they thought, God, we can relegate Newcastle here. And then they thought, well, we don't want to do that. That's not rock the boat.
With that, Hull might have been winning, but so were Leicester.
Yeah.
And Sunderland picked up a couple of wins in the draw.
Yeah.
So even though Hull seemed to think they were going to get safe, because everyone else below them were winning, now that they're in it,
they're
last day fight, isn't it? They need to win, Newcastle need to lose.
It's a weird one with Hull, because they're playing Tottenham, who actively are trying not to win.
Yeah.
And the week before they played Burnley, who were already down.
Yeah.
So the two sort of easier games, they can't win. I don't know it seems really like, I don't know.
Yeah. Livermore was playing the first game. He didn't have a fucking clue where he was.
He was running down the line.
He was really close to the team. He thought he was on the wing.
He literally ran down the line across the centre line, round the centre circle.
But it is a weird one, because they're now favourites, and I don't think obviously everyone thought Leicester was down.
Yeah.
But, I think even some Newcastle fans would happily have, if it meant Ashley went, Newcastle fans would take relegation. I think they'd take it on the chin and go down.
But to be honest, if you're a club like Newcastle, who selling all your players anyway, and some of them are like spuriously whether they should be there or not, like, do you want to keep half of them? Getting relegated doesn't really matter. Like the few times West Ham have gone down, it's more interesting to watch because you win every game. Mm. And realistically, any team who's not in the Champions, it's not like a Championship regular team, any team that's in the Premiership most seasons, like say West Ham are, but occasionally every 10 years or 8 years will get relegated, you've just got so much more money than everyone else.
Yeah,
people make out as if it's a big achievement getting promoted, but it's not really, because you can just buy all the other people's players. We went down and just brought the captain of every other team.
if you're a club of that size, then getting promoted is a bit easier. But, you know, for instance, the accomplishment of, like, Bournemouth is incredible. But I think if you go and Hearts have just been relegated and now gone back up. And if you make the most of it and use it as an opportunity to rebuild your club and, like, try and use it as a positive rather than just bouncing up the wrong way, then it can be a good thing. And if ever there was a club that needed that, it's Newcastle. They can go down, have a cleanse of a lot of the shit that's there.
The 85 French players they brought in.
Yeah, and the players like, you know, Riviere got his first goal, cost them million or something stupid. Get rid of all that shit and go back up a better club, then relegation wouldn't be a bad thing for them.
I suppose the problem is who would do it, because they're going to go down. Fair enough. You could get rid of all the crap that's there. Then you need someone to rebuild it.
Of course,
there's no one there. It's going to be
John Carver, the greatest coach.
John Carver,
in the world.
Carver and Ashley, they're going to rebuild up to like
Carver and it's like a really shit detective series. Carver and Ashley, who's going to solve the crime? Are you doing this week?
Carver and Ashley's mystery tour to the conference.
Premiership
to conference in 5 seasons. Can they do it?
Well, it's a big club. Like Jack said, if Ashley goes, they'll have a queue of very, very good managers who will want to take over at Newcastle. You know, they try to get Steve McLaren. He would have done, if it wasn't for Mike Ashley, of course he'd have taken the Newcastle job. So, you know, they will lose, if they get relegated, they will lose players like Jack Colback, who's a very good player, but, he'll just follow John Carver. He'll just do John Carver's garden. He wants him everywhere he goes. But after this, John Carver won't have a house with a garden, most likely, will he, to be honest with you. But, they are a big club, but I fucking love them to go down. So I'm hoping they go down on relegation day, and I think most people are. We'll have a quick look at the Gaffer Tapes League before we move on to the second half of the fixtures and talking points. I've only got the top 3 to talk about this week. It's all the same, but the battle for second place is still pretty close. Danny McGeeken, our new league leader, it ended on an oily pitch. He is a good 100 points in front. Brian Coates in second, and then only 8 points behind is Geordie Wilson, Coates' cousin Colin. But it's worth knowing, Danny McGeeken is 84th in the world.
That's mental.
And he's in our league.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean,
so not, now
it's, not
80,
it's not 82nd, where are
we? Hey, there's still, he's got 1 week to beat you,
yeah.
Danny. You're in 80, he was 66th before this week, so there's still the Arsenal game to go, Arsenal-Sunderland.
Yeah.
So by the time this comes out, that'll have been played, so he might well be above you. But 82nd's the mark to beat, Danny. But now he's proved he's a listener.
Yeah.
And he's 82nd in the world. We're like, yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he does it.
We accept him.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he does do it. Top 50 be good. Then our places, we don't have to look at Tom's this week. We don't need any one-click wankers. Or is it two-click? I never remember. We've got me. I'm bottom out of the three of us who are here in 43rd. I stayed the same place. Ash is currently in 38th. And you've got 40 points more than me, but you've got 11 points more than me, but dropped down in the league so far.
I know, it's weird because I've gone up in every other league apart from ours.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if some phantom person's
some
jumped
wankers
in.
Wankers come in at 20th. And then Jack, our guest host this week, sitting in 14th. But as you just said earlier, before we started recording, you've actually got 17 on the bench.
I've got 19 points on the bench from keeper, defender, and midfielders coming. For people that have not played a single minute. So
through
good.
Bad management, you're gaining another 19
points.
Well, I
made transfers early and brought in Zuma and Gomez, who got injured before the game week started.
Yeah.
But instead of taking another hit, I thought I'd let them stay there, injured, slide in some points from the bench and annoy some people when the points get updated.
Ah, so it was a deliberate move to make people think they're beating you.
Yeah, I was speaking to Stimmers on Twitter.
Brilliant.
And he had the same principle with Gomez, I think it was.
That is
Stim Shady.
That is so Tottenham. It's unbelievable. The two of you conspiring. Oh, shit.
He took the extra hit and swapped him again, I think.
Yeah, he did.
I left them and now I've got 19 points.
That's
off the
risk
bench.
Of early transfers.
And yeah, I don't normally do it this late on the season, but for some reason I did.
Is Stim Dog a Spurs fan?
I'm going to say he is.
I do not know.
I like the fact that you've been speaking to Stimmers. We're bringing people together. We're like a really homoerotic dating site for fancy football.
Stivers has never mentioned who he supports, so I can only imagine he's definitely a top fan.
Probably is.
I think I might have just overtaken him in the table. So,
oh, really?
With my points on the bench, I've got a Sunderland defender and three Arsenal players to play tomorrow night. I could well get
well, hopefully
the
you'll get
again.
Top 10.
So,
hopefully you'll get top 10. And then the other Saunders, the lesser Saunders.
The lesser Saunders.
What happened to him?
Little
he's like below me now.
I'm pretty sure he's given up.
Oh, he is, he's 44.
He's not really done much.
Because you started off like the De Boer twins.
We were literally in there.
And now you're like Gary and Phil.
Yeah. And I think he's given up on it, to be honest.
That's embarrassing.
Well, yeah, because if he's... He's not
I'll have
points.
A word with him to make sure he stays a one-click Saunders.
Yeah, it would take a 20-point turnaround for him to become a page two guy. But he's not... not far off.
What's embarrassing is that we think he's given up and he's still only like 1 point behind me. And I'm like looking at it 6 nights a week. Like, fuck's sake.
It's right. He's still 100 points ahead of Tom.
Right. Well, there you go. We're safe on that front then. The second set of results for the week before we go to the break. Palace carried on their run against Liverpool. They seem to be able to beat them quite comfortably 3-1. Swansea and Man City ended up 4-2 City. Man U Arsenal was 1-1. Chris Smalling captaining Man U, which is rather embarrassing.
Yeah.
A player not good enough for Man U, captaining Man U, my friend Andy Gibbons pointed out. West Brom battered Chelsea 3-0, which the first talk point of that is obviously we've been saying it for a couple of weeks now, talking about whether Chelsea players were worth dropping if they just their performance drops and they're not really in it. And it seems like we were right, to be honest with you. I dropped Hazard this week and watched nervously because in my mini league, outside of our league, the only differential left was Hazard. Second place on top of it, and he did nothing again, so I was quite happy. But did you drop Chelsea players?
Yeah, I had Terry, Hazard and Fabregas, and I dropped all three for the week. City won 6-1 for three City players.
Oh, wow.
Aguero captain.
Yeah.
So that was the best decision to make.
Of the season, probably,
Chelsea, I think, drew 1-1 that week. Terry scored, I think.
It was Liverpool,
the only,
wasn't it?
Terry scoring was the only downside to that, but then he conceded, so it kind of wasn't as bad as it could have been. And since then, he's conceded in this game, and Fabregas got sent off, and Hazard didn't get any points. So swapping them for the City players has worked out wonderfully for me.
Yeah, well, I dropped Hazard for Sanchez, and obviously, hopefully, that pays off for the Sunderland game. But people, I just felt people were too attached to Hazard, because he's such a big name. They were like, bit scared to drop him, so I thought, fuck it, I might as well do it and see what happens.
Did anybody not go Sanchez captain?
I went Sanchez captain.
I thought about doing something different, as I do every week. And I thought, it's so late in the season, just go with what everyone else is going, because at least you then can't drop down a million points. Yes.
Well, my main tactic in my other league, with sort of a small league, five of us and my friends, is I'm in first place and I need to kind of second guess what second place is doing to do the same as him.
Yeah.
And that's what it was with Sanchez. So, a lot of people went Giroud and brought Giroud in as their third Arsenal player, but his performance score points wise, even though he's guaranteed to play because they're not playing, they don't have that many out and out striker options, his performance points wise, FPL wise, for the last few weeks has been poor. So yeah,
I've had him in. I had him at my bias, but you're right, he just can't score.
Koscielny's ill, if anyone's got him, I heard. He's ill. Game, so he won't play tomorrow night, apparently. Oh. So I think a lot of people might have him as a Arsenal defender for double game weeks. So
yeah.
Anyone that's got him is unfortunate.
See, mine's Ospina.
He didn't get any points.
Yeah, I can see a lot of people having Bellerin, Sanchez and Giroud, like I've got, I would have thought.
Yeah, mine's Sanchez, Cazorla, Ospina.
Ah.
Ospina's there because he picks up points for making saves look better than they are, and they get registered as saves even when he's just catching it while he's on his hands, doing his handstand. So, Chelsea dropping, it seemed like a decent tactic, and it's pretty much worked. They've obviously got Sunderland at home in the fixtures for the last game week, but Sunderland have got a hell of a lot to play for. Even though it's the last game at Stamford Bridge, they're picking up the trophy, so it's a difficult one. They won't want to lose. But I don't know. I don't know Chelsea players. I think the likes of Loftus-Cheek are going to carry on playing. And then another quickly before we go, Palace beat Liverpool 3-1. I think most neutral fans probably quite enjoyed that. Liverpool talking point is Raheem Sterling. Now it's public. He wants to go. He's going to go. He's handed in his official request or is about to. So quick jury decision. Money-grabbing wanker or right decision?
Money-grabbing wanker. 100%.
Yeah. He hasn't done.
He's too young to warrant a move of what he wants to a bigger club than Liverpool in the Champions League. And yeah, turning down $100,000 a week, you might think, yeah, he's not a money grabbing wanker, but you're turning down that at your club you're at that's provided you the platform to be where you're at now. And now he just wants to go and play for Real Madrid or someone, and it will ruin his career.
I don't know what his, it'd be interesting to know what I don't actually now know these days what the wages of other players is.
No.
Is $100,000 not a lot of money?
$100,000 is a good amount. There's plenty of players on more than that.
Yeah.
But probably not that many at Liverpool, to be honest.
Yeah.
Or that are 21
years old. But the age thing, I can understand that, because that guy isn't the bloke who Real Madrid have signed. You know, the 19-year-old...
16-year-old. Odegaard.
Yeah, 16-year-old. Martin Odegaard, yeah.
Isn't he on $90,000 a week?
Possibly, but that's an economics decision. It's supply and demand, isn't it? They reckon he's the only 16-year-old in the world capable to do what he does. Therefore, $90,000 a week is a cheap price to pay for him.
But so that's what I'm saying. So from Sterling's point of view, the fact that he's young shouldn't make any difference to how much money he's going to pay. But the fact that he doesn't do anything, he hasn't really done anything in the last 5 months.
Yeah, the fact is he's not a finished article. His finishing leaves a lot to be desired. He's got a lot to learn in front of goal.
Yeah.
I would argue, although the money thing, I think it comes from the right place, his decision to move. If Real Madrid offered him $90,000 a week, he'd take it. And he'd sign for $10,000 a week less to sign for Real Madrid than he would Liverpool. So it's not out and out money, but I think maybe, in a really eyes bigger than his belly way, he wants the ambition of trophies and so on, but isn't willing to maybe admit maybe he's not good enough yet to win those trophies.
Do you think he would go to Real Madrid on, say, $80,000 a week to sit on the bench and watch somebody else win the Champions League?
Well, I think he thinks he's good enough to... Every footballer has to believe they're good enough. So it is a money thing, obviously, but I think he would accept less money at a club where he... I think he's still a bit of a mercenary, so he doesn't have any loyalty to Liverpool whatsoever. And some would say that he should stay there, one, out of loyalty, two, because he'll develop. And in fairness, he will play 40 games. Like at Liverpool, there aren't many clubs. Even at Arsenal, he's not guaranteed to do it. I saw someone tweet saying, Sterling's stupid. We don't know yet if he's Gareth Bale or Aaron Lennon. And it was such a good, tweet to say. We don't yet know. Yes, he's been a standout for England, but he is probably better than Aaron Lennon. But we don't know yet whether he's going to be an amazing.
He seems a bit like Joe Cole, who was amazing. And when I was growing up, such a legend, was so unbelievably good. And through all the youth cups, West Ham won, all those games he played, seemed absolutely amazing. But if you can't score as an attacking midfielder, unless you're absolutely so far above everybody else, like Zidane, that it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And you're strong, so you can win the ball back.
Yeah.
But if he can't, he's like in front of goal, is so poor.
Well, listen, if he wants to sign for Real Madrid, then he only needs to look at Gareth Bale, who scored 15 goals this season, 11 assists or something, and is being absolutely absolutely slaughtered for not delivering enough. So his goal scoring, Sterling's, needs to get a lot better if he wants to go to a club like Real Madrid. So yeah. I'm not sure he's ready for it. But yeah, so that pretty much wraps up part one. But tweet us all your views on any of those things, mainly Sterling. Wanker or what begins with a W? That's a good thing. Wizard? Wanker or wizard? Raheem Sterling. It's a question on everyone's lips. Yeah. Wanker or wizard? But no, tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes. Coming up in part two, we'll have a quick Gaffer Gambler. We'll preview game week 38 from the point of view of an actual top 10 player, unlike Ash, who just masquerades as one with Jack here. And we'll also go through some of your tweets. And all that's coming up in the Gaffer Tapes in just a minute. Hello and welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes Fantasy Football Podcast with Craig, Ash and Jack. It sounds better, doesn't it? It's got a ring to it.
Yeah, it does.
Craig, Ash and Jack.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tom. It alliterates nicely. But yes, we just went through game week 37, which obviously kind of still ongoing with Arsenal to play Sunderland. We would wish Sanchez a hat-trick, but I think everyone would get identical points, so it doesn't really make a difference. I think we've all got him.
Yeah, well, there must be somebody who hasn't, somebody who's tried to go something different.
Yeah. There will be, or someone who's forgotten their team, obviously.
Yeah.
Like the other Saunders.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who's given up. I this week was one of the first weeks, actually. I do a safety team.
A safety team?
So, like, I always do my team, like you, either on a Saturday morning or Friday night. But on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I'll do my team.
Yeah.
Just in case something happens. In case a medical emergency, I do a team. So, there wasn't a medical emergency, I just forgot. But it was all set up from the Wednesday, because I don't want to be one of those idiots who misses out. Anyway.
Just to confirm, every single player in the top 10 has got, oh no, somebody hasn't. The 9 of the top 10 have got Sanchez as captain. Only the mad cash cows, Tom Hardcourt Brown, is the only person brave enough.
Got?
Unfortunately, he's got Giroud.
Well, I was going to say, I'll hope for Giroud points then, because I've got him as well, but not if I can catch
him. No, that's
up.
A nice big shit for you. That's big boy shit. Yeah, ninth place.
In fact, it's only because he hasn't got Sanchez in his team. Rather depressingly for him, he's got Gerrard and Henderson instead.
Gerrard?
Oh, and Hazard. How the fuck did he get to top 10?
Gerrard and Henderson?
Yeah.
That is a bizarre pairing.
He must have been thinking a last day at Anfield Gerrard hat-trick. Surely, yeah, maybe. That's the only thought process there.
Him and Brendan Rodgers are the only people who thought Gerrard and Henderson was a good pairing. Yeah. So pretty much for this week. So we'll have a quick shout on the Gaffer Gambler. Unless Ash has put any outrageous bets. You did have a bet this week, didn't you?
I did. Flutter. Yeah, what was it? I did your thing. You know your tip where you try and surround a bet with two smaller bets? Or two sort of safety bets to increase the odds?
Yeah, picking a if you pick one that's slightly longish odds, then a couple of favourites surrounds it to make it appealing, yeah.
Yeah, I put a tenner on, and it was the classic bet this. West Ham to get under 2.5 goals, over 12 corners. Under four cards.
It was over 12 corners in the game, though.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, there was more than 12 corners. And I thought there's hardly going to be any cards because they're playing for the UEFA Cup playoff.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Everton scored in the last minute. And it would have been doubly annoying if they hadn't, because fucking Liverpool lost anyway. Which was, I put Real Madrid and Liverpool as the sort of surrounding bets.
Well, Liverpool was never a foregone conclusion, so you've got a good odds return on it. But
yeah,
sadly, the treble I tipped didn't come in, but it's hard to pick Premier League trebles, especially this time. Normally, I go further afield. But I tipped Stoke, Leicester and QPR's quite a long treble. And to be fair, the QPR... it was QPR to beat Newcastle. That came in. But the problem is, the way the results went, from what I heard, the Leicester game then became... Neither side particularly wanted to commit to win it. Like, Leicester knew that they were staying set. They didn't need a win all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So Leicester kind of just were happy to draw 0-0 in a boring game, so it kind of ruined it.
Just to put it into perspective, the Liverpool had shorter odds of beating Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Like, very slightly. So they thought it was more likely that they were going to beat Palace than Real Madrid were going to beat Espanyol, who are... Obviously, Barcelona's arch rivals, like derby team, aren't they?
Yeah.
So Espanyol probably would have wanted to lose at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
But still, they thought it was more likely that Liverpool were going to win.
And Real Madrid is second in the table and regularly score 4 or 5 goals.
Yeah, and beat them 4-1,
I think. Liverpool have been up and down all season, playing Palace, who have
beaten them already.
Been a very good team. in the most part.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
It's just a bunch of scousers put money on, isn't it?
Yeah. And those are the kind of anomalies you want to pick out, though. Like, those Real Madrid odds are probably, they're the ones you think, oh, that might, and then covered it with a couple of favourites. But I've picked three teams this time round as well. I've got Villa at home to beat Burnley as one. Not just because Burnley are already down, but Villa obviously got a doing. And I think, I don't know, I can see it being a scrappy Benteke goal or Benteke couple of goals. He's the one.
Yeah, and a lot of teams bounce back straight after an absolute hammering. So.
Yeah. And last game at home, no one wants to do the traditional lap of honour with getting done by Burnley. Bit of a longer one, this one, but Palace versus Swansea. I've got Swansea. Swansea, they've done well in their last two away games, performed well against big clubs in the last few games as well. They've also got beaten 4-2 by City, but gave a good account of themselves. So that's the one to stretch the odds. And I've got West Ham to beat Newcastle away.
Oh, no chance.
Only because it's what everyone in the country wants.
I'm willing
to lose 10 quid just to, I don't mind, because I'm just rooting for West Ham to do it. But those three teams.
Stick Hull to beat United in that as well. Well, yeah. For the ultimate what everyone wants.
I know, I did think that, but then it's such. There's no reason they won't, by the way, Hull to beat United.
Now you mentioned it, I'm thinking I'm going to put 100 quid. Barbecue money on the exact opposite to happen. Obviously, Hull are going to fucking roll over and get relegated. Newcastle is going to scudge a 1-0 win for the first time. Obviously, Allardyce is going to go there, totally roll over, hoping he can get the Newcastle job back in.
No, even Allardyce will want to beat Newcastle.
No, he won't. He's fucking shit. Newcastle has no chance of them going down. It's going to be well depressing.
What's wrong
except for I'm going to have won 100 quid on it. It's going to be amazing.
Well, 10 quid on that is at 30 to 1, those three teams. You can get 300 quid back on a tenner just for those three results. And I fancy it. Swansea Palace is the one that really stretches the odds. And obviously West Ham, Newcastle. But I hope it happens. West Ham can beat Newcastle.
But that's what I'm saying, is it's betting with your heart, isn't it? With your heart instead of your head.
No, because I think Newcastle, nothing I've seen about this Newcastle make me think they're up for a relegation fight on the last day of the season. Nothing. I don't think they've got it about them to grind it out. Whereas, I genuinely think, I'm not saying it will happen, I genuinely think there's a chance Hull could beat United. I think that they've shown elements against Liverpool, in games they've needed to, and they're used to it. These Newcastle players aren't used to being in a relegation battle, a lot of them.
I don't know the Hull side well enough to know whether they've got, basically, have they got someone who can out-header Fellaini? If they've got someone who can battle him in the air, they probably just beat them.
Well, all I know is if Jake Livermore's filling up the water bottles, then they stand a pretty good chance of pulling off something surprising. And it's Eurovision this weekend, so I've got a tip for that as well, if you want it.
Oh, no, I'll tell you what. Betting fact, I once won 100 quid on Eurovision a few years ago. Becky always watches it and always throws a Eurovision party.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
cheers
God.
For the invite. Yeah. I feel like Sam Allardyce. I didn't get shit.
Yeah. Apart from this year. And, but to liven it up, I thought, oh, I bet a tenner on this. Bet tenner on Lena, the German contestant, and fucking won it.
Well, I don't know, actually. You watch Eurovision, Jack?
Never.
Never. Well, no. All I know is Britain, obviously everyone hates the UK, so we never get many votes. Have you heard the UK entry?
No.
It's catchy as shit. It's like a scatting song, because they won't win. But they're, but Paddy Power have a blog of any kinds of bets, and they've actually run the numbers on Eurovision winners over the last 10 years, and they've done it by gender, hair colour, type of music, everything, and they've run it all through. And the one that fits all of their statistic number crunching is the Georgian entry, and who get quite a few political votes from some of the other kind of states, etc.
They're pretty neutral, aren't they?
Yeah, so. And it's 80 to 1 for the Georgia entry.
Really?
She's pretty hot. That's got to help as well,
yeah,
I think. So that's what the blog says. I haven't actually seen her yet. But 80 to 1 Georgia to win Eurovision, I'm sticking for. You can just not gamble. let me be clear, you can avoid gambling on Eurovision, but bearing in mind I bet on Namibia versus Mauritius today in a football match that may or may not have happened. It could have just, like we said, been two kids playing Sabutio in the streets of Africa, and I bet on it and bloody lost, so there you go. So there's my bets. As Tom isn't here this week, we've cut down the tweeting bit, because this is his favourite bit, going through the tweets. We've only got four or five to read out.
I think we should test.
I'm not doing an impersonation of Tom.
you're not doing an impersonation of Tom doing an impersonation of CJ Lewis.
I'm not.
I call shenanigans that he listens to the pod.
Yeah.
I question his integrity if he's not going
to
do it.
Well, he preempted what we were about to ask him to do. So
that's true.
There is a chance he does. Yeah. We'll leave a silence of like 3 seconds where people have to join in. And if they could tweet us their audio of them joining in at this bit, they'll get a fucking Toblerone.
Yeah.
And not just a small one, a giant Toblerone.
Yeah, or not.
We might get them. If they come to the FA Cup final meetup, I'll give them a Toblerone.
Yeah, okay, sold.
That's a deal. So we'll just leave the section, they can do it. And Tom will do it when he listens, if he listens. This will be only he listens to, won't he?
Yeah.
So, yes, this is a little section we like to call Tweets for My Tweet. That was long enough, right?
Yeah.
They can fit it in there.
Yeah, well, except for the, it cuts all the blank spaces out of the recording. So
oh, shit, does it? Oh, well, they can do it anyway.
That would have been like a 2-millisecond gap there.
Well, they have to be quick. Tweets
for
My Tweet?
Yeah.
That'll work. Either way, we can rely on a few people to tweet in. And talking of tweets, I'm starting with it. I'm not even building up to it. My favourite tweet of the entire season, bar none, was the fact that with Sabahs in South Africa and the rain in Spain falls mainly on the McStain tweeting us. Turns out they know each other and didn't know they were listeners to the pod. We asked them to prove it. And they only went and tweeted us a photo of them chilling out in South Africa in a bar in SA.
That is absolutely unbelievable. I was convinced that there's no possible way ever anybody would know Shabs and listen to this podcast and not know that they knew him.
Because he's a fancy football lunatic.
Yeah. It'd be like if you were, oh yeah, so I sit next to this guy called P. and Simpson every day. I didn't realise he was related to the Ian Simpson you've got here.
Do you know what Sabs reminds me of? It's like, you know, the famous Pompey fan who goes in a waistcoat
with the fucking bell. Yeah.
It'd be like saying your mate to him and go, are you a football fan? Are you a football fan?
Mr. Portsmouth.
Mr. Portsmouth.
Yeah.
Sabs is like him. But so Sabs and McStainy, Dale Stain, sent us a photo of themselves. I didn't realise what they were doing. They had a receipt in their hands and I wasn't sure what it was, but Ashes, you've now confirmed it was the date, was it?
I assume so, yeah. It must be proving the date. Otherwise, we'd have to call the legitimacy of the photo into question, but they've preempted that.
Yeah. I'm just thinking now, I'm sure there was a South African cricket player called something Stain, Dale Stain. I've called him that. Maybe it's him. Are you the professional cricket? I don't know. Do you watch cricket? No?
Dale Stain does exist as a cricketer.
He does, correct, doesn't he?
Yeah. Wow, knowledge bomb dropped.
That. I knew Dale Stain was... Are you related to Dale Stain? If so, sorry, Sabs, you've been dropped. But no, that was an awesome tweet. We've got two people in South Africa who met up for a drink and took a photo for Gaffer Tapes. That seems pretty weird and surreal, so that was cool. We had a tweet off Bohemian, whose Twitter handle is @BeyondArsenal, so we can presume he's an Arsenal fan. He said...
Or a Tottenham fan.
Or a Tottenham fan. Kick the other fella out, hashtag Coatsy we trust. So there's some real grief for Danny McGeachin, which seems unfair.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's proved his loyalty.
Yeah, so I don't know what that is. Just an Arsenal fan being upset about it.
Yeah, typical Tottenham fan.
Well, they enjoy second place, don't they, so...
No, from a Tottenham fan,
they don't know that. They just love not winning.
Yeah,
so, yeah, that's why he wants him to win. It's just in his head. He's like,
I've never heard of Tottenham. Why can't someone come first? I don't know how it works.
It's brilliant.
What do Tottenham fans like hit Arsenal fans over the head with?
Unfortunately, before they won the FA Cup, it was how long it's been since they've won a trophy.
Yeah,
but that kind of went to pot a year ago. So now it's pretty much just having a paedophile as a coach.
That's what you fall back on.
Yeah.
It's back to that.
That's about it. And finishing fourth and not first does still wind them up, to be honest.
Yeah.
So, not ever winning.
It's good to get
You can still say you never win anything. And they've kind of forgotten about the FA Cup already because they're going to end up third in the Premier League. And they want the Premier League back, not a cup, to be honest.
I've never been inside the mind of a Tottenham fan, so it is interesting to know.
Yeah.
But there you go. That's it. Just falling back on the old pedo thing, really. We had a tweet from Adam Heppenstall, who was one of our newer members. He won Manager of the Week, which we couldn't do this week because the week's not over.
Oh, good old Heppy.
Heppy, yeah. So well, I think German Heppard was yours. I quite enjoyed that one. He said, big question, does my Manager of the Week run until next season? I really want that Toblerone.
Oh.
Does it? I don't know. I don't know the ruling.
No, because there's going to be another one, isn't there?
So it's ended.
No, because it's going to be one next week.
Yeah, but after that, he means. Next season. Does this season's Manager of the Week run on to next season?
Well, I don't understand the question.
No, he's got one Manager of the Week.
Yes.
Oh, next sorry. Season, if he gets I thought he thought that he was the last Manager of the Week, and he was just going to carry on because no one's going to... We're never going to do it again. Yeah, he's immortally
he's
the winner.
He's going to put it on his Twitter bio for all those weeks.
The rest of time.
No, he means, obviously, because you have to get three to get a Toblerone, apparently, we said once flippantly, and stuck. But... So he's wondering, next season, does he start on one?
I think, to be honest, he needs to break out of that reality into the new reality, the fact that Craig is never, ever going to buy anybody a Toblerone ever, no matter what you do.
I am.
You throw around this Toblerone.
I know a Toblerone guy.
Yeah, you do know a Toblerone guy. You're talking about like a signed Stan Collymore shoe.
That never. Oh no, I think it was. I think it was a Jan Mulby napkin.
Yeah, exactly.
At one point, and I'll get these things. I know a guy. It's like Red from Shawshank. I can get this shit.
Oh yeah.
But no, there's a Toblerone. I'd have to say though, I think it goes back to a scratch next season for Manager of the Week.
I'm going to do a ruling and say yes, because then I could write them down.
Great point. That is a great point, because I don't think we kept them. And I think, you know, three gets you into the Hall of Fame, which is as good as a Toblerone, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you'll get a Toblerone if you come to the FA Cup final meet up. Anyway.
Unless he goes through all the previous episodes and writes down the winners of...
We haven't had someone who's won it twice yet.
No, but that's what I mean. So then we could know who the previous managers were.
If he can be willing to do that, I think he deserves a Toblerone.
Exactly, yeah.
Next season it goes back to zero, alright? That's what happens.
Oh, come on, we set him a challenge.
No, he doesn't. Don't do that.
Do it.
All of them.
Well, it's even better now, because now you can do it, and then you've got a chance of maybe it being allowed, and then you maybe won't win the Toblerone anyway.
We are worse than the FA. This decision. We might overrule it, I don't know. We'll work it out later.
The best competition ever. Go back through the entire history of podcasts, work out who all the previous winners were, then wait till next season. Then you've got to win Manager of the Week two more times.
Yeah.
And then hope that
when the league's going to be bigger.
Yeah. And then hope that you decide you're going to buy him a Toblerone that he could have just brought whilst listening
to
the podcast.
How's he
going to
go through every week? We only fucking started working out about 6 weeks ago, let alone the entire season.
But if we don't know how many weeks he's been listening for, so he's going to have to go right back to the start, to the World Cup episodes, sure no one won Team of the Week then.
Adam Heppenstall, I'm really sorry. That wasn't the succinct answer that you were after. But I'm pretty confident no one won it three times next season, because there's going to be
a
lot of people in the league. I don't think it'll happen. So I'll put my money where my Toblerone is, which is in my mouth. So it's the same expression, actually. It's irrelevant. And then we had a tweet from Tom Holmes, from one Mr. Tom Holmes Esquire.
Get out.
And he said, game week 37 of the fifth year I've played FPL, and I have just realised you can change the order of subs on your bet.
Seriously?
Surely not.
What?
What a fucking idiot.
That's got to have been a joke.
No, I don't think it is.
Well, I think sometimes you have to question if you knew you could make transfers.
Yeah.
Because he has Genius on his bench still.
He's not that Jermaine Genius.
Luckily, that's true. Third sub for him.
Yeah, but that we worked out that's just a coincidence that he's the third
and
sub.
And there's been two wild card periods in which you couldn't have got rid of him.
Yeah.
And didn't.
And chose not to.
Crazy.
Chose to keep him in. Loyal. That's Tom. That Tom at this point would go, loyalty. That's what he would do. Sometimes Tom texts me just three words, like a car advert, and he'll just go, loyalty, emotion, compassion. And that's it. That's all he'll text. Just three abstract words together. And then we have a little war of doing them back and forth, but it's always him that instigates it. But he's just realised that, so that's pretty crazy, isn't it? That he is one third of a football podcast, a reasonably successful football podcast, and he's just worked out you can change the order of subs.
He might get himself on page one next year. Never know.
Not a chance.
Shit, could you imagine that? If that's the only thing that's been holding him back, next year he finishes like 200 points ahead.
Yeah, I think the amount of points you might accumulate over 38 weeks of your first sub.
It's totally fucking irrelevant.
Because his subs are god awful.
Oh, true. Yeah.
This is why.
He doesn't believe in subs.
This explains it. Maybe that's why he never bothers with subs, because he's like, well, what's the fucking point? You can't reorder them.
Yeah, his are all dead, so none of them are coming on.
He's that guy who plays FIFA with three players injured hobbling along because he can't be bothered to make a sub. Yeah. It's frowned upon.
Yeah. If you couldn't change the order of your subs, then there'd be no point buying them.
Yeah, exactly. He did get a reply, and I've left off who it was, which is annoying. But someone said, it's okay, mate. I'm pretty sure a bunch of people just right now learnt that. # Gaffermata. Gaffermata, sorry. No one just learned that. Everyone knew that except Tom. I don't know, Tom's got like a fan now, apparently.
Especially people who listen to a fantasy football podcast, signed up to our fantasy football podcast Twitter account. And I can't believe there's a person ever that falls into that demographic that didn't know that.
No.
Apart from Tom, who's on the fucking podcast.
Yeah. He won't be listening. It's fine.
Oh, yeah. That's
this
true.
Far into the podcast, we can say what we want about him.
It must have been a joke.
I don't think it was. I don't think it was, but if he can let us know next week for the big finale, then we can find out.
Oh, we should set him a series of challenges that he's not going to do because he's not going to listen to the podcast.
I think we should have like a quiz for Tom and see how much he's progressed next week.
Yeah.
Like educating Thomas.
Yeah.
To see how far along he's come.
Oh, see if you know, like, if you walk into a bookies with £1, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
See if he's still like, oh, no, throw it.
Yeah, we could just give him some things about gambling and fantasy football to see what he's learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. To be fair, for a guy who didn't even know he'd move subs around and hasn't had subs, he's done well to be in 60-odd places, to be honest with you. He's done all right.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone stuck up for him. Like, he's got a fan for some reason. So, you know, I don't know why this has happened. I reckon it's him, just with an alias. But yes, that's the tweet. So keep those tweets coming in. You can tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes and follow us. And also you can email us info@thegaffertapes.com if you're not really a Twitter user. We have a few of them. Manager of the week. We will tweet it once the game week's actually over and Arsenal played Sunderland. Go for it.
Oh, sorry. This really calls into question the integrity of, fan Ryan Hyens.
Ryan Hyens, yeah.
Yeah. And Alan Whitby-Lear.
Yeah.
Who are both currently below Tom in the league.
Yeah.
Narrowly.
And know about subs.
Yeah, so how is that possible?
Yeah, that is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in real football, just the manager looking over as there's... What the fuck's he doing? Who's he got? He's bringing someone on! This is bullshit!
Yeah.
They're lined up when they come out of the tunnel, the subs. You know, you have to sit in this seat because you will be my first sub. The goalkeeper gets injured. Sorry, striker, you're in number one. Come on.
Oh, he's sat there with the... He's got his subs bench and he's got fucking Jermaine Genas there with his suit on. He's like, yeah, yeah. Well, it'd be really good if there was some sort of, like, period, some sort of window where we could just get rid of these players.
This just seems like a waste of time, Gaffer. I'm in my Kurt Geiger shoes. I ain't going on. But yeah, that is bad for Ryan Hyens and Alan Whitby-Lear, who are regular players who
take
it quite seriously. I know them both. And there they are, below Tom. Well, next season's a big test. The league's going to, you know, double treble in size, hopefully. So,
confidence.
We'll see what happens. But yeah, do tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes and email us info@thegaffertapes.com. And just before we go through the fixtures, Tom, it's always a bit he likes to talk about. We are meeting up for the FA Cup final. He's very excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's more excited because his team are playing in it.
Yeah.
We are meeting up at the Maple Leaf Bar in central London for on the 30th of May. I'm not going to cut it like a wrestling promo like Tom always does. But on the 30th of May for the FA Cup final, Arsenal Villa, we are going to be meeting up in the Maple Leaf Bar, a Canadian theme bar showing football. Why not? I've been, it's a great bar.
Yeah.
So we're going to be meeting up there. Whether you're an Arsenal fan, Villa fan, Spurs fan, Jack might even come down.
Jack has said 100% he's definitely going to think about going, maybe.
I will definitely be there if Tom wears his Tottenham shirt.
Well, this is it. I want that, but Ash is saying that will never happen.
It should happen.
He's going to be wearing a Tottenham shirt at some point.
Yeah, at some point. Yeah,
but what a better day to do it.
I agree.
When Arsenal play the cup final.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Because that's my issue with going to London on a day that Arsenal are in a cup final. If they win, there'll be Arsenal fans flicking everywhere.
Yeah.
There'll be just me as a Tottenham fan strolling on by.
Yeah. Same as always.
You know, same as always. But I don't need another day of that if I can avoid it. But if Tom was standing next to me in a Tottenham shirt, it would make everything better.
That would make your day,
so
right?
It would make my life, to be honest.
There you go. Yeah.
It'll be the crowning moment of a Tottenham fan, I think, so far.
Seeing Tom Holmes in a Spurs shirt watching the cup final
as
Christian Benteke tears apart his
back. Oh, that would make it so much easier for Tom because he can pretend he's a Tottenham fan. He'd be like, oh, yeah, go.
That'll be too hard for him.
Either way, you'll see a photo of him on our phones in that because we're all going to be there. Hopefully, Tom maybe even stick the Spurs shirt on for that. I can't see it happening. But we've been tweeting the address of the bar and we'll do that again. But 30th of May, the Maple Leaf bar for the FA Cup final in central London.
Special guests, Shabs and McStaney.
Sabs and McStaney flying over on a giant Toblerone from South Africa, and our American friend Evan Brady with his son Timmy Wallace Brady are all coming over, and Adam. Australian commuters are coming on their way. Well, any, I don't know if I missed any.
Adam Heppenstall with like five iPods.
Adam Heppenstall.
Adam previous episodes.
Adam Heppenstall just going to be sat in a corner like fucking Chloe on 24 listening to episodes to see if he won Manager of the Week. And any other listeners we don't know about, a shitload of people in Dubai who we haven't even spoken to, apparently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're all going to be there 30th of May. We'll have a quick look at the fixtures and we'll have a quick chat about what we're going to do changes-wise, I think. But Arsenal are playing West Brom, Villa at home to Burnley, Chelsea at home to Sunderland, Palace at home to Swansea, Everton are playing Spurs, Hull Man U, Leicester QPR, Man City versus Southampton, Newcastle versus West Ham, and Stoke versus Liverpool. Jack, have you kind of penciled in your change already or not?
Not yet. I have been in a little run of weeks of making multiple changes for points deductions. I think I looked the other day and I've taken 12-point hits three out of the last five
weeks. Wow, paying off though.
A 4-point hit and an 8-point hit.
Wow.
And I've gone up the league four out of the 5 weeks that I've done hits in. So I'm not a fan of going for the save a transfer, get 2-3 the next week. Just do it and reap the rewards. And I looked at my transfer, I've made 65 this season, which is double the top three. And I think you guys are all on 50 something subs. Yeah. So I made a hell of a lot more subs than most, but there's obviously a fine line between how many you make. I think I've taken 130 points in hits.
Jesus
so if I
Christ.
Hadn't done that, I'd be third. Yeah. And then maybe I wouldn't have the players that got me points
yeah, exactly.
in the week. So
yeah.
I, at the moment, I'm quite happy with a starting 11 team. But last game week in the season, when so many clubs don't have anything to play for, it's hard to pick
really
where
hard.
Goals are going
to
be.
What are the games where clubs have got something to play for?
Well, there'll be obvious
Arsenal,
standouts. Yeah.
For second place.
Yeah.
Arsenal and City. Arsenal and City are the only big clubs with goal scorers you'd think, yeah, they could wrap
well,
up.
They've got
Aguero,
to play
for example. There will be a fight for second place.
There won't.
City will be up for it.
They don't give a fuck.
I don't think City, if they come second, they go, yeah, right, Chelsea were miles ahead of everyone. At least they were still second. Whereas if they end up third, it's kind of, that's a terrible season.
But do you think they're, like, they might go out and play, they'll physically be there. But if you're a player, do they really give a fuck?
I think half yeah. of them are on holiday.
Yeah,
in their head,
sure.
aren't they?
Yeah.
But that's the same
ones.
For most games. Then
oh, really. Massively! It's going to be same for gamble for betting. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't know who's going to play. You don't know who can be bothered. Obviously, the exceptions are Hull at home to Man U, Newcastle at home to West Ham, and Sunderland's away to Chelsea. Dependent on Sunderland's results against Arsenal, if Sunderland managed to beat Arsenal, that changes that all over again. But again, it's Hull. Same with a double game week. Hull have got loads to play for. Really need a win, but I couldn't tell you what fucking Hull player to put in.
No.
Apart from based on Ndoye in the last double game
yeah.
week who got points
yeah.
and no one had him really. And Newcastle need points, but you're kidding if you think I'm putting a Newcastle player in.
yeah.
So, oh, this could be the perfect week for it, actually.
I still think Villa at home. I think Benteke. I think I'm going to try.
Yeah,
if you haven't already
I've
got him.
I think he's the player of the week
yeah.
at this stage.
If you haven't got him and work him in, and because the other ones, I mean, Diego Costa played for the first time again and will probably want to get a goal at Stamford Bridge, but he's so expensive, that means losing Aguero, who've still got technically something to play for, so I can't see him doing much. Arsenal striker-wise can't seem to get goal. I think it's Benteke. He seems to be the standout.
Yeah. There's always a crazy result on the last day.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, Man United 5, West Brom 5, I think it was.
I remember that.
Lukaku got a hat-trick for West Brom. But you would never have bet on that result last day of the season. Both teams weren't playing for anything.
Yeah.
But again, that opens up a game a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But you get two ways there. You get a 5-all, you get the most dull 0-0 you've ever seen. So if you can pick that 5-all game this year and pick a player that gets a hat-trick,
yeah.
you'll be streets ahead of everyone else.
Well, I think Benteke for a goal against Benteke, a lot of people already have him, obviously. West Ham versus Newcastle, I'm sticking with it. West Ham are going to get a win. The other one, I guess, if you wanted to be a bit different, I think Liverpool will carry on crumbling. I think Stoke will beat Liverpool. So I guess if you wanted a cheap striker to transfer, maybe I might swap Kane for like Mama Miranda Diouf, maybe.
Charlie Adams on a good little run of goals.
Yeah.
For Stoke, so if you've got a midfield space.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'd be a bold move to put a Stoke player in because a lot of people won't do it. Liverpool have that thing where people think they're actually still going to get a result, and I think Stoke at home probably get a result, maybe 1-0, 2-0 against them, so maybe that as a weird tip.
Here's a little quiz then. Newcastle, I didn't realise how shocking their players have been.
Yeah.
Because there's one player who you probably get who people were putting in and has done moderately well.
Yanmat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do you think their top three highest scoring players are?
I would say, obviously, Yanmat being one of them. I would say another one, maybe Krull still.
No, it's six. It's not that they're difficult to get. It's like you can't name them. They're so shit.
Ryan Taylor?
No.
Is it another defender?
It's not Colback still, is it?
Colback second. Their third best.
Colback's a good player. Third best, then.
I'm struggling to think of their starting 11.
He was tipped on the podcast.
Tipped on the podcast.
Yeah, we tipped him.
Not Iozzi.
Yeah.
Really?
Third highest player.
He's been awful.
Yeah, he's barely even played, has he? Like, had a couple of good weeks.
I guess that's with a club that's so bad, those three players have probably got every single fantasy point that club's got in the last 10 games.
If ever the saying, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king was relevant, it's there because they must have been dog shit everywhere else.
Yeah.
But there you go. But there's a couple of tips. I think Newcastle losing to West Ham, it's going to happen. Get your money on it. Put your house on it. If you don't have a house, buy a house, then put it on it. West Ham are
going to
do it.
Well, I'm going the other way. Put your house on West Ham to lose.
No,
we are dreadful.
It's Newcastle. They're awful. But yeah, so that's pretty much all we've got time for this week. But do tweet us, tweet your teams. This is where Tom will give us shit for not tweeting our teams, but that's what second pages do.
Do you not tweet your team because of your little mini league?
Yeah. I don't tweet it before. Yeah, because my mate will be watching it like a hawk waiting for me to do it. He listens to the podcast. There's only about 12 points between us, and he has to buy the winner gets dinner and drinks for a whole night from like five other people. But yeah, tweet us at the Gaffer Tapes. Email us info@thegaffertapes.com. 30th of May, FA Cup final at the Maple Leaf in central London. Anything else? That's about it, isn't it?
I think so.
And thanks to Jack for coming in this week. It's nice to have a Spurs fan on. Yeah. And hear the lunatic mind of a Spurs fan. It's like interviewing a patient. which has been great. Filling in for Tom. Hopefully you get top 10, Jack.
Hopefully. I'm trying.
Fingers crossed. And sort your brother out. Yeah, he's embarrassing the family
word.
Name.
I have a word.
We don't have a page too. But that's all we've got time for this week. Good luck in game week 38. We are going to be back for a podcast after that to review of the season. I think Tom's got some sort of special award ceremony planned. He'll be wearing a cheeky bow tie. But that's all we've got time for on the Gaffer Tapes. So thank you very much and goodbye.